When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello there. Control your insolence and concentrate. It's time for Most Things Kenobi.
Hi everyone, welcome to another episode of Most Things Kenobi, a podcast about Obi-Wan Kenobi and all things Star Wars. I'm your host, Lauren.
And I'm your host, Leanne.
And this week, we're doing a bit of a crossover. We are going to talk about all the times Indiana Jones appears in Star Wars and Star Wars appears in Indiana Jones.
I can't believe the list. Now, I had to look up a list.
I did too. I knew like two things off the top of my head.
This list is online. We're not coming up with any of this on our own. At least other than the two that we can name, but
yeah,
it's fun. It's super fun. Everyone is aware that there are always some kind of rumor of a crossover or, oh, right. This was acknowledged in the, even in the Clone Wars, they do like little nods to, and I think it's cute because Harrison Ford, Indiana Jones, the music, who's the guy?
Oh, John Williams. Yeah.
John Williams.
Honestly, this isn't on this list, but every now and then, whenever I watch Indiana Jones, there is like a little thing the music does that always sounds like Leia's theme.
Oh, God, that theme makes me cry every time.
Me too. And I'm really tuned into it. So when it starts to go, I always expect it to be Leia's theme. And then it's not because it's Indiana Jones, but I kind of wonder if John Williams did that on purpose, but who knows? Maybe he just dreams in his own music and it's all mixed up in his head. So this list, I think, is what, 20 things? And we got it off Screen Rant, so like you said, we can't take credit for it, but if you don't want to read the full article, we will summarize it for you here.
That's it. And I'm actually surprised by some of these that I have seen all of the Indiana Jones, except for like the latest one.
I have seen all of them except the second to last one, the one that had Cate Blanchett. I never saw that one.
Oh,
but I did see the most recent one.
Did you like it?
Yes and no.
Your face. I didn't see it, so I can't even comment.
I liked it because it was much more like the Indiana Jones we know. But it was also just kind of like one car chase after another. It was very long. So they could have probably removed a car chase and I would have stayed interested a little longer. But in general, it had that lovely Indiana Jones charm to it.
Yeah. Yeah, and they are charming. But I don't remember a lot of these. I can't believe I haven't noticed some of these.
Well, and I love that they do this on purpose.
Yes.
It's all very purposeful. It makes sense too, because George Lucas and Spielberg were on vacation, I believe in Hawaii together, when they came up with the idea of Indiana Jones. And, of course, Star Wars was the other thing going on.
Spielberg did do Jurassic Park.
Oh, yeah.
I wanted to make sure.
Yeah.
Which is filmed in Hawaii on multiple locations, which some I'm going to, and I can't wait. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Honestly, there's probably more crossover stuff with Jurassic Park, too, I feel like, because there was some article I think I scrolled over here that mentioned Jurassic Park as well. So,
well, just imagine the amount of brain and creativity power in a room of Spielberg and Lucas.
Oh my God. I have to dive for cover.
One is wearing Costco sneakers. The other, a pressed button down.
Yeah. They both have aviator sunglasses and giant poofy hair, so at least back in the 70s. So.
Fucking love it. Anyway, we hail thee, both of them, and I'm here for all of these crossovers. So if you recognize any of these as we're going through, shout out. Cheer like, oh yeah, I know that one,
yeah.
And then let us know, because that'll be our listener comment.
Yeah, because if we miss any also, if there's some that we don't know of that aren't on this list. You'll have to tell us those too. All right, do you want to kick it off?
I'll kick it off. The first one is the, and I did not know this one.
Me either.
The opening scene of Raiders of the Lost Ark. Indiana Jones is fleeing in the airplane. It's a little float plane. On the back, it says OB-CPO. A nod to both Obi-Wan and C-3PO. Now, come on.
I've seen this movie how many times? Never, ever noticed it.
Exactly. How is it right there? And I'm not seeing the obvious. Like, how?
I love that scene because that's the I hate snakes scene. And I relate to that 100%.
Oh my God. I completely 100% relate to this. I can't with snakes. I honestly.
I can't either. So if Indiana Jones can't, then it's okay that we can't.
I mean, it's probably why we didn't notice the OBCPO on the plane, because we were like, exactly, fuck snakes, man. You know, and there's a lot of action and stuff and, you know, shit's going on. I guess it's like the Plo Koon, the emblem on the side of the gunship in Clone Wars. Is it Plo Koon's? It's like Plo's bros.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Plo's bros. I mean, that's a little harder to see than this seaplane writing, but, you know, it's there.
You have to pause it and then translate the Airbus. Yeah.
Hey, by the way, shout out to Rural Farm Boy.
Oh, yeah.
He had a screenshot of our podcast playing on his computer, and it was in Arabesh. Like, everything was in Arabesh.
That's
cool.
And I
was like, wow, this man is not only a beast, but he's got us up there. And he's got it in Arabesh.
That is commitment. He's cool.
I know, man.
So this next one I've heard of, but I never saw it myself. It's the hieroglyphics of R2-D2 and C-3PO. And I guess that's in Raiders of the Lost Ark when Indy and Sala are carrying the Ark. You can kind of see it in the background. There's all these Egyptian, I think they're Egyptian, right? Hieroglyphics?
Yeah. And I think.
R2 and 3PO are right there in the middle.
Now, I knew about this one and I paused specifically to see this because I had heard about it. I heard about another one that I paused to see. But I did see this one, and it's very clear. So,
is it? Okay. Yeah, I've never...
I mean, you got to pause. Right. You know, it's like...
But that's the thing that's so funny, is they put this in the background, barely noticeable, and you have to really be looking for it to see it.
Yeah.
Which just goes to show how much they are thinking about it and having fun with it, right? Because most people are going to miss it.
Yeah, it's the having fun, because... I don't know. It's these little things. If I were putting together a work of art such as these kinds of movies that stand the test of time, I would have a little fun with it. Who wouldn't want a little inside joke or an inside, like, nudge, you know?
Well, and of course, all of this then makes people wonder, you know, is there a connection between the universes? Of course, it could just be them having fun as filmmakers, but is there possibility that Indiana Jones is in the same galaxy as Han Solo?
Why not? Why not?
Exactly.
There's two of them. Shit. Okay, next one's pretty obvious. This is in Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, just before the activation of the Akator?
I don't know. I haven't temple? Seen this. This is the one I've never seen, this one.
Yeah, same. Indy says the famous line, a bad feeling about this, which is, you know, I've got a bad feeling about this, which I'm pretty positive Han Solo has uttered.
Oh, yeah. I can't remember if he's the one who said it. No, he probably isn't the one who said it first, but he definitely does say it, yeah.
He does say it. Mm-hmm. So a nod to himself as a different character in a different timeline, galaxy, etc.
Plus, apparently, it's like right before a spaceship lands.
A spaceship shows up. Yeah.
How appropriate.
So that's nice.
Who the hell knew Indiana Jones and aliens would one day cross paths, but... yeah, there's a reason I haven't seen this one.
Shia LaBeouf's in it, and I'm not like the biggest fan.
Yeah.
Just not a fan whatsoever. No, not knocking him. I wasn't watching movies when he came into the scene, right? Yeah, and so I like totally missed growing up with him or being introduced to him. And so he's just like a guy I know is in movies, period. So
no real connection or tie there. Yeah.
No. So no, nothing against him. I just, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
I have a bad feeling about him being in these movies. Sorry, the joke was there. I had to take it.
This next one was really, really obvious. I even noticed this as a kid.
Yeah, this was the one I know.
Yeah, most people know this one. It's from Temple of Doom. The club at the beginning is Club Obi-Wan. It's really funny. Now,
here's where I need to enter into this, because I want to know what Club Obi-Wan's about. Is he wearing a Hawaiian shirt like the Lego movie?
I hope so.
Does he sing on stage? Is he telling people in his club that they can have death sticks? Or are they still outlawed?
I was thinking how appropriate it is because Obi-Wan is one of the few Jedi we've seen take a shot.
He's the exact reason I think they have a Club Obi-Wan, because he's the most straight buttoned up, like, and he's the one who takes, he's like, I don't even know how to describe it. He's over here being the perfect Jedi, who's the perfect everything with perfect hair and perfect morals, and he's taking shots and death sticks, and he's in a Hawaiian shirt, and the whole thing. It's just
sings on stage.
Yes, he does. And he, like, ad-libs and shit. So, I don't know. If there's a Club Obi-Wan, I want in. How much is the cover charge? Let me know.
Yeah, I will never leave. I will pay and never leave. You cannot kick me out.
I feel like it's a club that Ventress would frequent.
Yes, well,
I feel like she would be allowed in this club.
I agree. She's always sitting in the back drinking her booze of choice.
Yeah. And yeah, she gets it for free.
I know in the movie, in Temple of Doom, I think it's even Spielberg's wife is the woman singing on stage. I could be wrong. I haven't watched this movie for a while. But I would much prefer it if it was Obi-Wan singing on stage. It is Club Obi-Wan, after all.
It is.
At this point,
we're going to have to get him in there.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, when this was made, it was still Alec Guinness was Obi-Wan. Ewan McGregor was not, so people might not have preferred it.
I think that'd be hilarious.
Singing on stage.
He would pop up and like pull his hood up, like, "Hello, patrons, enjoy yourselves tonight."
Oh my god!
I have no recollection of this droid over here serving drinks.
Yeah, right.
Right.
Don't remember ever owning a droid, liar.
Cause you're drunk, Obi-Wan, at your own club. Go home, Obi-Wan. You're drunk.
Too many death sticks.
Or that.
You burn the memory.
It's also seen at the very end of Disneyland's Indiana Jones ride.
Oh, is it? Have you ever been on that ride?
Here's the thing. I'm pretty sure it was broken when we were there recently. So we were not on it. Or was it? No, we rode the Mummy ride. Indiana Jones, I believe, was broken. Because these things are always broken.
Yeah.
Like, periodically broken throughout the day.
Yeah.
So, I would know. I would remember this, but
yeah,
we did not ride it.
Sounds like the ride had too many death sticks also, so. That was bad. Yeah, that was real bad.
No, I love it. Wait, now there's another club? Mirroring Club Obi-Wan in the Temple of Doom, Star Wars The Bad Batch Season 2 features a nightclub that Clone Force 99 has to shoot their way out of, much like Indiana Jones. Even better, the name of the club, when translated from the Star Wars alphabet, a.k.a. Orabesh, is Club Lao Che.
Yes, and I guess I forgot to mention that Club Obi-Wan is owned by Lao Che in Temple of Doom.
There you go.
And that's why this makes sense. Yeah.
Well, I haven't seen season 2 of Bad Batch. I know. Don't come for me. Cancel me if you want, but don't come for me. Haven't seen it yet. It's on the list. So I was unaware of this. That's very fun.
That's cool.
I like that.
I mean, I love that even in current Star Wars, they're still sliding these Indiana Jones references in.
Yeah. Aren't we going to have an Andor reference at some point, too?
Oh, a couple. There's actually at least two, if not three. Yeah.
Okay. Because I recognize those, but we'll get to those. I'm getting ahead of myself.
Well, this one we've already talked about. We actually talked about it in our last two episodes. Last episode. The Staff of Ra. If you haven't listened to our recent episode, we talked about Dooku Captured and the Gungan General and... Mm-hmm. Senator Karras, who is bringing the ransom to get Dooku, he carries a staff, and it is the Staff of Ra, basically. Missing the red ruby or gem, whatever that is, but otherwise it's pretty much identical. And that's the Staff of Ra from Raiders of the Lost Ark.
That's essentially what spawned us to do this episode. We were talking about it, and we're like, oh, how many crossovers are there?
Yeah, because... That one I knew about because Dave Filoni mentioned it. I didn't even notice it when I was watching. I have Clone Wars on DVD. That's how long ago I bought them. I don't even know if they come out on DVD nowadays. But there's all these special features. And Filoni was talking about the Staff of Ra. And I was like, that is fucking cool. And again, love that they do that.
Well, this next one I have seen, but didn't realize it. Because anyone who's been to Galaxy's Edge, this is a nod to that. It's Indy's Ark Covenant, which is all over the Star Wars galaxy, including Clone Wars episode Liberty on Ryloth, which is an excellent, excellent episode. Mm-hmm. The version of the Ark is in the background of Wat Tambor as he attempts to leave the planet. The Ark is also on Batuu, the corner of which can be spotted within Doc Ondar's Den of Antiquities, which is where you buy the lightsabers.
Oh, cool.
So I've been in there 100 times.
So is this picture that they have in the article, is that from Galaxy's Edge?
It is, yes. Yeah. So, like, Doc Ondor, he's one of those things with the curved heads.
And they talk out of their...
What are those things?
Ithorian or something like that?
Oh, yeah. So he's one of those, and he's, like, busy. He's an animatronic, and he's back there, like... fiddling with his antiques.
Cool.
And he's got all kinds of stuff and cool things and artifacts and things behind him. And then Indy's stuff is back there too.
Oh, that's so cool.
It's kind of cute. Likewise, a mysterious box Han Solo and Chewbacca could never open on their cargo hauler in The Force Awakens carries the ID tag 9906753, which is the same number given to the Ark of the Covenant in Raiders at the movie's end. Which is such an obscure thing.
Yeah, I think that's because it's being closed in like a shipping crate in Raiders of the Lost Ark, mm-hmm. right? And that crate has it on there.
Mm-hmm.
Man, you would really have to be deep in Indiana Jones lore to spot that and know what you're seeing right away.
I barely remember Han and Chewie's box that they can't open.
Yeah, I don't remember that. At all.
I've seen the movie several times, and I don't remember that. And it's like, ooh, you really got to be looking.
Yeah.
Who's keeping track of all this?
God, I don't know.
Besides us. And Screen Rant.
Yeah. Well, Harrison Ford surely does give no fucks at all, but...
Zero.
But
zero.
Okay. So if that means Han Solo has the Ark of the Covenant from Indiana Jones on his ship, I know it's like, you could say it's something else, but like that seems pretty... Obvious that maybe, I'm still using like, I'm not sure, well, language.
Yeah.
That the universes are connected somehow.
I can see it.
I know they're just referencing, I know, but it's still fun to think about, right?
But still, the galaxy is a very large place. It could be out in the unknown regions.
Yeah. Well, especially since the Ark of the Covenant showed up in Ryloth. I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
I have no memory seeing that at all when I watched the show.
Nope. So. And we've seen these episodes more times than we can count.
Yeah.
And we miss these things. You know why? Because we're staring at Anakin and Obi-Wan.
This is true.
So
rewinding over and over to make sure we see all the angles.
Yeah. I mean, you could say we're focused.
Just on something else.
That's it.
So this next one, I never noticed this at all. And probably because I also never saw the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull or whatever it was called.
Yeah.
Indy's Crystal Skull shows up in season 3 of the Clone Wars in Wookiee Hunt. That's the episode where Ahsoka gets taken by Trandoshans. I can barely say that.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, they hunt her like the most dangerous game.
Which is kid's show.
Yeah, right, exactly. Good Lord. So in one of their, I think it's like their hunting lodge, the crystal skull is up on a shelf. And something that I heard Filoni say, there's also a Wookiee pelt hanging on the wall there. That lodge is so icky.
That is, I hate that.
Yeah.
It's really awful.
Like, these are details that the Clone Wars people put in. And it's like, who the fuck said that was okay?
I don't know, but I kind of respect it, even though it's terrible.
Yeah.
Like, they thought, you know what? Throw it in.
Yeah.
Why not?
Just get ruthless.
Apparently, the crystal skull can be seen right next to the helmet of a Mandalorian from Knights of the Old Republic as well.
Yeah, I also never... That's a game, right?
Knights never of the Old saw Republic. That.
I've never...
Yeah, but I've... Nope.
And a Mandalorian. Like, if you look at it, it looks more like a Knight of the Republic helmet. Isn't there like a temple guard or something like that from that game? Yeah, I don't know.
It's I don't know.
All these little details.
Now this one I love. Indiana Jones' famous fedora was almost worn by Cad Bane.
How funny.
And this
that
is
be?
In season 4 of the Clone Wars. Obi-Wan Kenobi's undercover mission posing as a mercenary alongside Cad Bane, of course. The bounty hunter is in need of a new hat, a signature style Bane apparently can't go without. As such, Cad Bane almost chooses a hat looking exactly like Indiana's classic fedora. He kind of passes over it, kind of looks at it, considers it, passes over it, moves on. And it's like, hello. Over here, Indiana Jones' hat, which I think is great because it's like, how did he lose his favorite hat? This is all in the same galaxy. I'm with you, girl.
I know. The Indiana Jones' hat will just blow off his head and reappear later right in front of him.
Yeah.
It's like a magic hat.
He can't. Wasn't there a James Bond character that would throw his top hat and like slice people's heads?
Odd Job.
That's it.
Yeah.
Okay, so Indiana Jones does not use his fucking hat but to kill people, but he must have it to... It's like his trusty companion, you know?
It's his comfort blanket, or like...
It is. I don't know why I compared that to a killing assassin in James Bond, but there you go.
Hats.
I just remember the dude. Yeah, hats. Funky hats in things from the 70s and 80s.
Yeah, famous hats in movies.
Yay!
Our new podcast. Okay, this one, I noticed this on my own. So, Cy Snoodles, our girl.
Our girl! What's up, Cy?
She sings Anything Goes, kind of. She sings like an alien version of it. It's in Clone Wars. It's in one of my favorite episodes ever, which I can't remember the name of it now because I'm blanking
completely. It's the one where Obi-Wan has to go to the dude's...
Hunt for Zero?
Yeah, because it's his mother.
Yes, Hunt for Zero.
And and what's his name? Bust in the door?
Yes. I can't remember.
Somebody
anything.
Lives here.
Yeah. Quinlan. Oh my God. My brain just stopped working for a minute. So at the beginning of Temple of Doom, Winnie Scott, is that the character's name or the actress's name? I don't know. Sings Anything Goes. And then in this episode of Clone Wars, Cy sings something that is similar, but it's alien. And some of the phrasing is like inverted a little bit. But yeah, it's definitely a reference to Temple of Doom, which I did notice that. That's one thing I noticed on my
own. I did not. I can't. I'm focusing on way too much when Cy Snoodles is on the screen that I probably can tell you right now. I'm not paying attention to whatever garbly goop is coming out of her mouth. So God bless her. But like, she's just too sassy for me.
Yeah.
It's too much sass in one little package. What can I say? This one I'm not familiar with at all. So I'm going to have to read it. The quote, "Look What You Did" by AZI3 and Henry Jones Sr. During the season 6 episode of The Clone Wars titled The Fugitive, Five starts to uncover the dark truth about himself. Ah! It hurts. It hurts. And his fellow clones regarding Order 66 refusing to have his memory wiped. Five knocks someone from Kamino. I can't say the Kaminoan.
Yes, Kaminoan.
Someone from Kamino, a scientist and a handful of security guards unconscious. This causes the droid AZI-3 to remark, "Look what you did. I can't believe what you did." Before Fives pulls him away in need of his help. This scene is a reference to The Last Crusade, which I fucking love.
Me too.
When Indy knocks out several Nazi guards and his exclaiming father says the exact same thing. That is Sean Connery. I am here for it. It's my favorite Indiana Jones movie.
Mine too, of course.
And I can't believe I don't know this.
I know that Henry Jones says that, but I did not remember AZI-3 saying it at all.
No, because I'll tell you why. There's too much sadness happening.
I was gonna
for
say.
Me to notice. There's a lot going on here.
I never noticed because I could only bring myself to watch that episode one time.
Correct.
And that's
correct.
It.
It's one of those. That's it. That's it. It's a hard one to watch. But I like that they put it in. It's great that it's coming from a droid. Because they can be as ornery as a father at times, you know?
Yes. I love The Last Crusade. I love...
Oh my God, I love it too.
Their dynamic, father and son, it's so entertaining. It never fails to make me laugh.
And it's executed so perfectly.
Yeah.
They play well together. I think there's a respect for the actors there because, I mean, Sean Connery's a fucking legend. I mean, speaking of James Bond, I just didn't see that coming. But
exactly.
And then like Han Solo. Harrison Ford, excuse me. These two actors are like generation one, generation two of greatness.
Yeah.
And the fact that they're together in a film, iconic film, and Sean Connery's kind of a little goofy. He's a little...
Yes.
He's kind of like a little off kilter. He's a little...
He's like the opposite of James Bond.
Yes.
I love that.
Yes, and I love it. Love it. I appreciate that whole film for so many reasons. I love it. And the love that Indy has for his dad, too.
Yes.
Like, the affection and the respect. I don't know. I just love the movie. And I love Sean Connery.
I do, too. I think it's nice because it takes Indiana and shows you that he's not just a suave, cool guy. It's like there's a real relationship there. And that's... I really loved seeing it, honestly. And even, when his father slaps him...
Oh, yeah, yes.
I loved that, too, because you see that this guy who can whip a bunch of Nazis, his dad will not tolerate blasphemy.
Yes.
It's so fun.
It's fantastic. And it's believable because of these two actors putting on a hell of a show, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
God, it makes me want to go back and watch it. Maybe I'll rewatch it. I haven't seen it for a really long time.
I know, I haven't either. I think we did an Indiana Jones rewatch years ago. We watched all three in a row, but that was a long time ago. And honestly, I could watch The Last Crusade on its own over and over and never get sick of it.
Oh, for sure.
So Star Wars Rebels, Arinda Price, forgive me, Governor Price is how I know of her.
Governor Price, yeah.
Resembles Crystal Skull's Irina Spalko. That's pretty obvious. When you see the picture side by side, Cate Blanchett's character really looks like this character from Rebels. But they've never said it was a direct nod, right? They've never said if it was a coincidence or not.
Well, it's, I mean, come on. Look at him, you know?
Yeah.
Right down to the uniform. I mean, the hair is on point.
Yeah, it's pretty. She's like that Velma Kelly blunt bob.
Yes, yes.
They even wear the same color suit. So, I don't know.
Yeah, the uniform is very similar. I don't know. It's got to be. I mean, come on.
It seems like a nod. Yeah.
But Cate Blanchett is also basically in Star Wars as the unofficial person who plays fucking, what's her name? God.
Oh, Satine?
Satine, thank you. She's basically Satine as well. Everyone's adopted her as like the face of Satine in live action, even though it doesn't exist, but...
Do you think she knows that she's Satine Kryze without...
Absolutely.
...being her for real?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Listen, if she hasn't been told...
Someone should tell her soon if she hasn't
been told. Please. I didn't know that Irina Spalko in Kingdom of the Crystal Skull is Ukrainian?
I didn't know that either. I wonder how accurate that Ukrainian, quote-unquote, Ukrainian accent is, or if it's just the generic...
I would have to hear it.
I know. There's so many... People just use the generic Russian.
Right.
It's not the same.
My partner is Ukrainian, and he speaks Russian, so...
Yeah, they had to, usually.
There is a difference, though. I would like to hear it. I guess we're going to have to watch all these, Lauren. I mean, damn.
I don't want to watch that one. But I want to
see
it
if Kate Blanchett's in it. I changed my tune.
I saw the first, I don't know, 10 minutes of it, and there's some nuclear bomb that goes off, and Indiana Jones hides from it in a refrigerator.
What?
And that's the minute they lost my attention, honestly.
Okay, well, now that... Okay, I'm back out again. Sorry, Kate. I'm going to have to... Sorry, I'll wait for you as Satine. The next one, again, the Holy Grail makes an appearance, this time in Grand Admiral Thrawn's office. This is not a surprise. We see it in Rebels. He has a collection of items because, as we know, Thrawn studies his enemies and their art and their culture and their behaviors. Scary, freaky, crazy man that he is. Mm-hmm. And, of course, there it is in the background, the Holy Grail itself.
It, honestly,
on a pedestal.
It makes so much sense that it would be in Thrawn's position.
Not surprised at all.
Kind of scares me of what he wants with it.
There was so much silence there as we pondered.
I know. I'm thinking it's like the ability to grant you eternal life, right? But you can't take it out of the temple without...
Hold up. Nope. Nope. He doesn't have it as of Ahsoka because he had to use duct tape. So that shit is wrong. He didn't use it on his own troops.
He's keeping it for himself. Everyone else gets duct tape.
That I can accept, yeah. He's waiting for the right moment.
Yeah. All right, this one I love.
Yes, this is the one I was thinking of.
Yeah, so this is from Andor. Indiana Jones's whip is encased in carbonite in Luthen's shop. Which I think is so freaking cool. And it's a great nod because it's both a reference to Indiana Jones, obviously, but then also Han Solo, who was frozen in carbonite himself. So that's a great double reference there.
I love it. I love that one very much.
That's great.
And the next one is the Raiders of the Lost Ark's fertility idol in both Andor and Solo. So the movie Solo, which that's obviously a tie-in right there.
Right.
Because, you know, young... Han Solo, young Harrison Ford.
Yeah.
I don't know why my brain is not functioning. Just behind the whip in Luthen's shop is also the fertility idol. So that's obviously the relic that Indiana Jones failed to retrieve at the beginning of Raiders of the Lost Ark. So that's in Andor. And it's also in Solo, A Star Wars Story, in the office of Crimson Dawn's Dryden Voss. As a result, perhaps Dryden ordered the idol from Luthen. That's a curious thing.
So what... When I read this, my alarms went off. A little klaxon alert went off in my brain. Because remember, we wondered if they were going to make Crimson Dawn part of Andor because there was that symbol.
Yes, the little symbols.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So this would be that tie-in. And they had also referenced that Andor was released from prison to the planet we can never pronounce that we always say Jim Beam.
Yes.
Jabim.
Yeah, right.
Jabim.
Yes.
Jim Beam.
Jabim. Jabim. Jabim.
Which is
Jabim.
Also where Solo is, I believe, at the beginning.
Yes.
Or at least whenever he's enlisted by the Empire. So they're mm-hmm. like making ties between Solo and Andor, which is not my favorite thing in the world, but we'll see how it plays out. But yeah, I don't know. That seemed like a more obvious reference right there, that somehow Luthen is connected to Dryden Voss.
Well, we never quite got it with those symbols, even though we had theorized and mm-hmm. people had theorized and there were rumors and stuff. So maybe we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah. Season two someday. So this other one, I love this one too. And this is one I did notice. So also in Andor, in Luthen's shop, because Luthen has everything.
He is like the Thrawn, but less scary.
Yes,
he just
scary.
Is a collector. Yeah.
In Luthen's shop, you can see behind him on like a top shelf, he has like a Jedi and a Sith holocron. And then next to it, shoved like into the shelf, are the Sankara stones from the Temple of Doom. Which I don't remember what they do in Temple of Doom. I remember they have to be placed in that statue.
Yeah.
And I don't remember what exactly they do. Like, either the temple falls down or it gets powerful. I don't remember. Mm-hmm. Temple of Doom is one I don't watch that often.
I like that they're just up there like pieces of a toolbox that he just didn't have the time like, to put away. So he just shoved them.
Stuffed at a shelf, like kind of pushed them back as far as possible.
Makes me wonder why they're not out in the front room.
He must not know what they are. or he does, that he's keeping them.
I love it.
Yeah, I just.
I love it.
It's so great. They look really cool, too. They actually look like they're made of glass.
The next one is also from The Last Crusade, but I have not seen Bad Batch Season 2, as I said, so it's the phrase, let it go, and that's when Indiana Jones, Henry Jones Sr. is holding on to Junior, mm-hmm. and the Holy Grail, which lies just out of reach, and the father is telling Indy, let it go, don't let it consume you, yeah. Let the thing go, that sort of thing. Proves he loves Indy more than the object, which is kind of like a greater theme of, yeah. You know, possessions and love and things. And then this scene is replicated in the Bad Batch Season 2 when a pack full of treasure lies just out of reach and Echo similarly tells Omega that she also has to let it go, proving that she is more important than the items.
Yeah, that was a great scene.
So like older, wiser figure telling younger figure, yeah. Let the... I like that.
I do,
it's
too.
Good, it's good symbolism for life.
It is. You're focusing on the wrong thing. And I loved that. I love that moment in Indiana Jones, too, because...
I know.
The Holy Grail has been Henry's whole life. And at the end, he says his son is more important. That was... I love it.
I know. And it's believable, again, because these two are masters at their craft.
Yes.
And just Spielberg, period. So...
So this next one is kind of a, I guess it's an obvious one, but Dr. Aphra is the anti-Indiana Jones. Aphra is from the comic book, so I don't know, not everyone is going to have read all of them, but, and I honestly, I gave up. Because it was just too much. She is kind of similar in personality to Indiana Jones, kind of cracking one-liners and kind of flippant and always able to get out of a jam, but she's definitely more self-interested and isn't so altruistic as Indiana Jones. But
she collects things.
She does. She works for Vader for a little bit.
Yeah, I know that. People are gonna think I'm crazy, but I won't read the Aphra stuff because I'm jealous of her. I said it. I admitted it. I'm jealous of a fictional character who gets to work for Vader. And she's a cool fucking tattoo or whatever those things are on her arms.
Yeah, they're like, what are they called?
On motherboards.
Yes, a motherboard. Yeah, like transistors and motherboard. And yeah.
I think that's a cool tattoo.
I've seen a person with them for real.
I think it would be great.
It's so fucking cool.
I would love it.
It's so cool. Honestly, though, I lost interest after a while. I liked it. What was she? Was she in Screaming Citadel with Luke?
Oh, shit.
And I liked that, but also...
Yes.
That was one of the comic books where it's like, I really liked the artwork, and the story was just kind of like, did I miss something here? Is there a chapter missing? I don't know. So that's kind of where I started to give up on the comic books, because they started to just not make...
There's so many.
There's so many. And they're just not as good.
I have all the Vader ones that you gave me. She's not in any of them, I don't think.
I don't think she's in any of those. Yeah, she's in like the later Vader stuff.
I read like two of them. I got pissed at Palpatine for being so mean to him. God, I am so weird. I'm way too invested with the book. Moving on. All right, if anyone's ever been to Disneyland and rode or have ridden the Star Tour rides, I've ridden the ones in Disney World, not the one in Disneyland. Mm. But the Star Tours ride lists Earth as a refueling stop on the way to the forest moon of Endor. As such, this is what we've been talking about. This technically means that Indiana Jones would be canon in the Star Wars universe. However, seeing as Star Wars took place in, quote, a long time ago, Galaxy's Edge and Batuu, which are in Disney World and Disneyland, are considered canon to Star Wars. And the timelines might be a little crazy, but I say if Earth is mentioned, anything goes.
Yeah, is Star Tours considered canon?
It's essentially, you're just like in a canister that bumps around. It's not really like a roller coaster or anything. And it's a screen and you have like, I don't know if you have the 3D glasses or not, you might, but it's a different show, quote unquote, every time you go in there, and like you can go in twice or three times and see three different versions.
Okay.
And I haven't done it enough to say.
That's crazy.
I mean, it's just a little like for anyone, it's not, mm-hmm. if anything, you get motion sickness from like the bumping back and forth, but you're literally in like a little, like you're in a thing that moves back and forth.
Back when rides were not rides.
Yeah, I mean, it's essentially just like, it's weird. So anyway, Earth is present, so you know, anything goes. Okay. Almost. Ha ha. See what I did there?
Anything goes. Ah, yes. All right, this is the final one. And this one honestly blew my fucking mind. And after reading this, I was like, I'm sorry, what?
Well, let's have it. Let's end on the highest note.
Into the Great Unknown, which I've never heard of. It's the ultimate Star Wars and Indiana Jones crossover. A what-if type story from Dark Horse Star Wars Tales, number 19. The short story, Into the Great Unknown, is still one of the best Indiana Jones and Star Wars crossovers of all time, according to this article. Chased by the Empire and forced to do a blind jump into hyperspace, Han and Chewie crash land on Earth and are attacked by a tribe of Native Americans. Han is killed.
What?
And over a century later, Indiana Jones and Short Round find the, quote, somehow familiar remains of the Millennium Falcon and Solo's skeleton. All the while, Chewbacca watches from the trees above, having become the basis for the myth of the Sasquatch.
Oh my God.
What the fuck, dude?
I don't know, but I love... I'm never going to look at Sasquatch shit the same after this now. From this moment on, it's fucking Chewie wandering around because Han died on Earth from a blind hyperspace jump. This, what, like, the fuck is this?
It's so fucking crazy. And
so there are two of them. Han and Indiana are, there's two of them.
Yeah, so it's not like one or the other. Like, they exist together on this, that is, this timeline. Yeah.
Wild. Into the Great Unknown. I'll be damned.
Man, the Dark Horse comics were so much more fun. Because
they're better. Way better than Marvel. No offense.
Crazy fucking shit happens in them. They like approved storylines that Disney would never approve now.
Never.
I'm going to have to track this down. But also, I don't want to see Han die. That's weird.
Well, no. And poor Chewie just wandering the forest, hiding in trees, looking at people. That's sad.
He has a wife and child.
I'm sorry. What?
In the Christmas special, doesn't Chewie have a wife and kid?
Oh, I don't know. I can't make it through that thing.
I can't either. But I'm pretty sure he has a family. Oh, and now he's trapped here on Earth as the Sasquatch and can't get home to his family.
This is too much. You know what's funny? In my workplace, I have a poster. Yeah. It's Sasquatch sitting on a side of a river.
Now you need to put a bandolier on it and say it's
no shit. Yeah. And it says, believe in yourself, even if no one else will. And listen, folks, we believe that Indiana Jones and Star Wars exist in the same universe. So there. 6 degrees from Sasquatch to Indiana Jones to Star Wars.
All right, that's the list, the extensive list. Did we miss any? Let us know if there are some references to Indiana Jones or vice versa, some references of Star Wars in Indiana Jones that we missed. If we didn't miss any, tell us which one is your favorite. Which one did you notice any on your own without help?
Seriously.
If you did, good eyes. So just tell us your thoughts and we will share them on next week's episode.
And next week's episode, we're talking about filming locations. Lauren and I are going to pick at least two, different filming locations. So we'll have 4 separate filming locations from Star Wars, any of the Star Wars media, movies, etc. And we're going to get into where they filmed, how they filmed there, why it's unique, etc. So join us back here. We're doing film stuff next week.
And last week, we forgot what we talked about all of a sudden.
We laughed our way through Dooku being tied up to Obi-Wan and Anakin. That's what we did last week.
That's right. Last week, we discussed the Gungan general. We asked the question, though, what was your favorite moment from the whole arc? All two episodes. It was one of the shortest arcs ever. But we got some feedback. We heard from our friend Ben. He said, I think my favorite part of the arc is either the master of getting caught scene or the part where Obi-Wan and Anakin deny that they were in trouble, both to Ahsoka and to Jar Jar, which is very on character, on brand for both of them.
Totally checks out, yes. And our friend Z wrote in and said, the control your insolence scene is my favorite and everything Hondo says. Obi-Wan, Anakin, Dooku, and Hondo is the comedic quartet I didn't know I needed. Love it. Thank you guys for answering. We adore you both.
Thank you so much for joining us here on the Most Things Kenobi podcast. We appreciate every single one of our patrons and are grateful for your support. If you'd like to support the podcast and become a patron as well, head over to the Most Things Kenobi Patreon. As always, you can follow us on Tumblr, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube, and don't forget to subscribe on your favorite podcast player. If you enjoy our podcast, feel free to rate us on Spotify and Apple. And if you need just one place to find all of these, head over to mostthingskenobi.com.
So until next time, my space twin, may the Force be with you.
Always.